The Lord's been talking to me this morning, and I want to share some things with us today that I pray and trust God will give it to our hearts today, because it lies deep with me, and I believe the Lord wants to talk to our hearts a little bit this morning. In 1 Samuel 17 and 29, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" I want to talk about a cause this morning. You know, there's a lot of causes. David here saw a cause that was a lot bigger than David was. There was an army and a giant defying the armies of Israel. And as David put it, I believe he said, the armies of the living God. Yes. And David saw that, and he wasn't afraid at all of that giant. And he said, "Is there not a cause?" He was being reprimanded. But you know, I just want us to think a little bit this morning about causes. There's people build empires in life, and they build it around themselves. They buy lands. They make wealthy, rich empires, and people build those. They spend their lives building that kind of thing. Their lives, many people, lives are given to accomplishments. There's things they want to happen, that they want to see happen in their life. I was thinking about just some of the things people give themselves to. They give themselves sometimes to fame. Sometimes they give themselves, their whole life is centered around that. That is their cause. And they go to school for that. They practice that. Everything about their life points to that. And some of them are very successful in this life, in those things. Other people are given, their cause is maybe somewhat a good cause. It's their family. And they give themselves to that. And they set their family up in every possible way. In every way, they take care to see that their family has the best. They want their family name to be the best. They want their family, their cause is their family. Other people, as we said, their cause is houses and lands and money and investments. And we find them giving themselves to that all their life. And some are, as we said, very successful. There's some people give themselves to travels. They want to see the world. They want to see every country in the world. I was reading about a fellow one time, I believe he was a bicyclist, and he had went through almost every country in the world. There was a couple of countries that maybe he couldn't get into, or it was too dangerous to travel in. But his cause was to do that. And that's what he gave himself to. You know, perhaps to some, their cause is just, I want an easy life. I want to enjoy every day of my life. I want to have a job that makes me able to have the things I want. I want to be able to retire and have all that I want. I want to be able to do whatever I want to do. That's the cause of their life. And they spend their days seeking after those things. Now, you know, we're not talking about things we don't know about. We all enjoy. Don't we enjoy some ease? Don't we enjoy some money? Don't we enjoy our family? Don't we enjoy having plenty? We enjoy those things, don't we? But I want us to think about some things that are a little deeper than that this morning. You know, riches, honor, fame, security, it's all about me. That's what it's about. Now, I want to talk about what our life is about this morning. It's all about me. But there's only one problem with that. When me dies, me goes to meet the Lord, just like I died. And that's all I have. And I can't take any of that to the judgment. There's not a thing I can take and stand before God with. There isn't anything that will do me good there. You know, I was thinking about some of the kings of the earth. We all know Saddam Hussein. We remember him, don't we? And we remember his the way he went around in those countries around him and invaded and the things he did. He was a man that was after power, wasn't he? Saddam had some things that he was after. But I want to tell you about another king. He came from heaven. And he gave. He gave his time. He gave his service. He gave his whole life. He gave his life to the point that there was a time that he said, they don't take it from me. I give it up willingly. He just gave his life. There was a king that did that. And you know, we're blessed today, aren't we? We're saved today because of that king. Because of what he did. His life meant something. His life had something much more significant than the things that we take to death with us and leave behind. Some people have had fortunes that are staggering. It's just staggering to know the vastness of what they've had. But when they go to the grave, that's all they have. That's all they can take with them. There isn't anything left behind to endure. Only a legacy that haunts and troubles their children. That's what they leave behind. You know, today, I believe the Lord wants to put some things in our heart that helps us to see a cause that's greater than ourselves and greater than me. I was thinking about the Lord and how he just allowed the false accusers to destroy him. He allowed that. It was part of the will of God in his life, and he just embraced it. It didn't just happen to him, and it wasn't forced on him. He embraced it. You know, I know of a man today, and most of us here know of him. My children, some of them have met him. And I don't want to try to exalt anybody, but I want to tell you about somebody that sees a greater vision. Brother Peter in Africa is a man that could do some things in life, probably. But you know, he has given himself for hundreds of orphans. He gives his time and suffers many times for it. He gives long hours for those things. His life is consumed with the task that God has given him. We see the tremendous sacrifice that goes into his life. What would cause a man to do that? You only have one life to live. What would cause a person to give up the ease and things they could have and suffer some things through life? Because there was a cause that was worth it, worth the giving of their life. You know, this morning, there's some things that we've got to understand first before we can understand that kind of thing. Some in the world could never understand that. They could look at it and say, oh, that's heroic. But not for me. I could never do something like that. You know, this morning, I pray God that he'll meet with us here this morning. And that he'll cause our hearts to long after a cause that's greater than me. A cause that's greater than my life. That is worth. It's worth me suffering some things for. It is worth me giving up some ease for. It is worth me not having what I would like to have at the end of this, in the last days of this life. It's worth giving that up if that's what it takes. And so this morning, I want to read a story that we are all familiar with in Luke, the 12th chapter. And verse 15, Luke 12, it says, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying..." Now, I want us to get a hold of what Jesus just said there. This we have to understand before we could even think about giving our life to God. A man's life doesn't consist in the things that he possesses. It doesn't consist in how famous he is or how easy he has it. It doesn't consist in how much he has. And he goes on to say, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He had the things that people look after, didn't he? He had the ease. He had the security. He had the money. And he said, be merry. He wanted to have fun too, didn't he? That was what this rich man wanted. And he said, it goes on to say, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You know, this morning, Jesus, in his teachings, it was not about me. It was not about himself, as far as he didn't set up a kingdom on this earth, did he? That wasn't his intent. It was about doing the will of God. And you know, this morning, I want to challenge us. There is a cause that is greater than us. And it is worth giving our life and our luxuries and our time, our valuable time, that we love to do the things that we want to do. We like to do certain things. You know, it's worth giving that up for the will of God. You know, it's worth giving up the luxury we could have for the will of God. I want to look at a verse over in 1 Samuel 10 and 26. And this just really touched my heart, and I hope it touches ours too. It says, 1 Samuel 10 and 26, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah." Now, Saul was just crowned king here, and some people were like, yeah, they were kind of agnostic about it. You know, we'll see. We'll see who is he going to be. Is this going to be the king? But there's something else that happened here. "And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." This morning, young people and middle-aged and all of us, I want to challenge you. God wants to touch your heart. And he wants to touch it in such a way that you get up and you leave the things that you would have. The things, the luxuries, or the dreams, or the things that you might have, it makes us willing. You know, these people, they got up and went home with Saul because God had touched their heart. I want to ask us this morning to open our hearts to the Lord. Lord, I want you to touch my heart. I remember as a young person how I longed and how I pled with God through the years. Lord, I want you to use my life. I want you to have your way in my life. I don't want to get to the end of the way and know and realize that I've just wasted it and realize I've made a mistake. I want you to have your way in my life. God wants to touch our heart, young folks, until we begin to cry out after him. Lord, I want you to have your way in my life. I want you to touch my life. I want you to touch my heart until, like Brother Peter, you know, we're not all going to do something like that, I know. But we all have the will of God to do in our life. And the Lord wants to touch our heart. You know, our life, if it revolves around me, myself, it's a cheap life. I will tell you that. That is a cheap life. But I will tell you a life that has something that has a satisfying portion in it and is a blessing not only to us but to many. And that's when you give yourself completely to the will of God. This morning, I want to challenge us to see a cause that's greater than ourselves. You know, when Brother Peter dies, if he continues faithful, it's not going to be like that rich man that the Lord required his soul. And he went out, and then the Lord said, now whose is all this going to be? What's going to happen to it? It's going to go to his fighting children, most likely. It's going to go wherever, and it's going to curse them too. But you know, I believe when somebody like Brother Peter dies, you know what's going to be left behind? Those that has had the will of God instilled in their hearts and lives. Those that maybe go, he'll maybe see them in heaven one day. Maybe hundreds of them. He'll see some fruit from his that endures. This morning, God wants us to be able to live a life that means something more than it just gets left behind. Then whose will all those things be? Then whose fame is that going to be? Then whose ease is that going to be? That nice chair that we had and enjoyed every evening at home and all the things just like we want them? I will tell you, there's a cause, and it's greater than we are. And it's worth giving our life to this morning. I believe when those get to heaven, if the Lord's touched our hearts, folks, that's going to mean something to us. Somebody else made it to heaven because I gave. The Lord works through us, I know. Someone's life will be better because someone else gave. Now, I want to tell you this morning, this might be Greek to some. I know that. To some, it's Greek. You mean you want me to give my time? That I could be doing my things? And my boat? And my... I mean, I don't know anybody. I don't know who has a boat in here, but I'll tell you what. You mean I'm going to give up my enjoyment sometimes for something else? Yes. It's worth that this morning. But I will tell you what has to happen. We've got to have our understanding opened. The Lord has to touch our hearts. Young people, open your heart to God and begin to yearn for the will of God. We don't yearn to have an orphanage. Just, I want to have 300 children. I mean, you know, maybe the Lord will give that to you. We don't yearn for specific things necessarily, but we yearn for the will of God in our life. We yearn for our life to mean something. That when I get done with my life, with joy, I can set it down and say, and the Lord can say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, there's people that have lived before us and live today that they didn't live their lives for this life. I want to be one of those this morning. The Lord wants to give us something and touch our hearts so that we arise and follow Him. Now, I don't know what the Lord has for you to do. It might be that He just wants you to care for that one that needs cared for right now. It's not the significance of what we think is great. It's doing the will of God in our life. The Lord wants to touch our life until we look around. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? I want to follow your will. I want you to burn in my heart. That's what I want. I want to know that you're with me. I want to hear your voice in my life. I want you to move and work. I want to know that God is in our life. I'd like to see your hand working. You know, people want to see miracles. I firmly believe this. Everyone that totally gives their heart to God will see many miracles in their life. I believe that. I have seen it with my own eyes. I have seen miracles. It is not about us, though. It's the will of God and His hand working. And if we will just get in sync with Him, you know, we'll see Him work. It's when we're out of sync with Him and life is about me and life is about my things, my desires, my future, the things I want. That's when we're out of sync with God. I will tell you, when life begins to take place, when life begins to mean something to us, and that is when we get in step with the Lord. and He begins to be in our life, and He begins to work. It may be very small to some of you in your life, at your station in life, as it was with Anna. You know what she did? She constantly sought God. That was what she did. She was a real, I believe, a buffer to the children of Israel because she sought God constantly in the temple in fastings and prayers and those kind of things. That was her work. But it wasn't about Anna. It wasn't about her that God had her to witness to the presence of the Lord Jesus. It wasn't about Simeon. But it was about the will of God. And these folks were following God. And you know what the Lord did for them there then? We see this little baby, and Simeon sees this baby, and he says, "Lord, now let your servant depart." I've seen. He saw something, didn't he? This morning, folks, God wants to open our eyes. He wants to cause us to have a cause about our life that is a lot greater than the cause we would have. Young folks, I encourage you, seek the will of God in your life. Don't just seek what you are wanting, but beg the Lord, "Lord, have your way in my life. I want to be where you want me to be. When the work is there, I want to show up for it." And then when you start calling, I believe you're going to be looking for those that are already doing what they can. The Lord wants to do that this morning. You know, some of our people, some of our ministers, are here on these grounds today because somebody else brought them to service. You know, that was a cause, wasn't it? It was a cause some grandparents had that brought those children. God, open up our eyes. Let us not be selfish people. We want to go to heaven, don't we? Folks, let the Lord touch our hearts. Oh, Lord, let me follow your will. Lord, be pleased with my life, please. Let me give myself. Would you let me give myself? You know, instead of arm twisting, "Oh, surely, you know, you better give all..." No. Open up your hearts, young folks. There's a cause that's worth more than your pleasure. It's worth more than your profit. And I will tell you what it will give you. Sister LaDonna stood up here yesterday and she said, "Folks, I'm rich." I was thinking about that this morning. I feel the same way. I'm rich. And I'm not talking about money this morning. You want to be rich, folks. There's a cause greater than ourselves. In Romans 11 and 14, I just want to scan through some scriptures here. Paul said, "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them." Now, Paul was very desirous that Israel would be saved. Israel had largely rejected the Lord. And Paul was giving himself. The Lord, he said, "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them." Look back in 9 and 2 of Romans. And Paul said, starting at 1, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Now I want to ask you something. What would make a man say that? "I could wish myself." That's how deeply Paul felt for these people. That's how deeply God had touched his heart. He said, "I could wish myself accursed for my brethren." In Exodus 32 and 31, we find the story of Moses. I just want to build on this little thought for a minute. Exodus 32 and 31 says, "And Moses returned to the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." You know, what would make a man say that to God? Lord, if you won't forgive their sin, blot me out too. That's how deeply Moses felt. That's how deeply his heart was touched. Now, this touching that we're thinking about, that those men that went with Saul, God touched their heart. And they jumped, then they got up and went with Saul to accompany him, to help him, to be a blessing to him, because God had touched their heart. You know what this morning says here? If thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Moses, I know you've got that kind of heart, but I wouldn't do that. You know, this morning, God wants to give us a heart for the cause of God that is greater than me. It's greater than me's. All of us me. We're all me's in here. God wants to give us a heart that's greater for things greater than me. And, you know, I know we all want to have, and I believe we all want to have a happy life. It's not in me, folks. It's not when I take care of me. Those kind of things come from God when we give ourselves to the will of the Lord. In Hebrews 11, another place it talks about Moses here, listen to verse 24. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Now why did he refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Do we know what that meant, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? It meant all the luxuries of the kingdom of Egypt. That's what it meant. And it says here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses knowingly, just like Jesus did. What made Jesus do that? It was something God put in here. What made Moses do that? He was touched. Now, we use the word touched in a different way sometimes. I want to tell you something. God wants to touch us. He wants our life to be touched by His call, by His Spirit, by His love that consumes our life. And we're willing then to give of ourselves, to give of what we have. We've got a little place there at home and a shop and different things. You know, I look at that and I pray often or from time to time, Lord, please make this a blessing to as many people as you can. I don't see it as mine. It's God's place. I want it to bless people. I would like for them to be blessed by the things that the Lord has given me. Goes on to say, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know what, folks, this morning? The Lord wants us to see something that can't be seen with the human eyes and make us able to forsake whatever it is of ourself that we have. I want to challenge us this morning. Don't ask the Lord to twist your arm. Give it up. Open your arms up. Amen. And throw up your arms to the Lord. And say, Lord, take it. Take my life. I want you to have my life. Can we have a vision like that this morning? Can we see, is it going to bring us trouble? You better believe it, it's going to bring us trouble. It brought Moses trouble. But I want to tell you about Moses' life. Was his life interesting enough? Did he see some unbelievable, awesome things? Was Moses' life fulfilling to him? Where's Moses today? I believe Moses' life meant something. It was something that he saw and he decided it's worth it. Amen. It's worth forsaking all the things that would tie me here and giving myself to the will of God. And this morning, I would that God would give us that. I believe Moses' life had enough interesting things in it. Have you ever thought about Paul the Apostle? Paul, I believe, was a member of the Sanhedrin, was he not? One of the 70 ruling members of Israel. And he gave that up. And I'll tell you what else he gave up with it. He worked with his hands making tents when he could have had a nice fat income. Now, I'm not saying we all have to give up our income, because the Lord lots of times gives you more than you had before sometimes. But you know what? Paul had an interesting life enough. Paul saw enough things, didn't he? Paul saw God work in ways that few people see up close. But it wasn't because of Paul. It was because of God. And Paul had given himself. He had given himself to God's cause. And God chose to work through him like that. Now, he isn't going to work through all of us the same way. But folks, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about the will of God. But I believe Paul saw some things that was worthwhile. He met the king of the world. He met him. He lost his head eventually. But Paul met him. Excuse me. Paul saw a lot of places. He went a lot of places and he did a lot of things. Probably a lot more than he would have done before. He spoke to the rulers. God had him there. Was Paul's life interesting enough? I'd say it was. Well, I'll tell you this. We're not Paul's. But we have a life to give to God. And it'll be interesting enough. And it'll be challenging enough. You want some mountains to climb? You'll have mountains to climb. You want some things to do? You want to see some places? You'll likely see some places. You want to do some things that challenge you and that bring a sense of real satisfaction? You'll have those too. God wants to give those things to us, but it's not about us. It's not about seeking out who we are. In Hebrews 12 and 2 now, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You see, Jesus had plenty of joy enough, but a lot of his, he had pain enough too. But you know, there was a joy that was set before him. There was something that he saw that he knew was waiting for him. And so it made those things, I believe, as nothing. I'll gladly give my life. Jesus gladly did that. But it says here, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He counted it of little value. The shame that he had to have, the shame that was put upon him to be one that was murdered on a cross and crucified. To the Israelites, that was one of the lowest forms of punishment you could have. But Jesus, it says, despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, Jesus became the propitiation for sin, didn't he? He became the salvation of the world. He gave his life for that cause. That's what he gave. And you know, this morning, the Lord might want us to give our lives for something. There's a call going out, folks. I've been hearing it in this meeting. I've been hearing the God of heaven put the call out to come, to give our lives. to something greater than ourselves. The Bible speaks about the foolishness of preaching. It seems kind of foolish sometimes. But I want to tell you something. If you see a soul get to heaven, when you see souls that you see their family begin to be helped, you see, you know what? That's a work, folks. The work of the Lord is work. I'm not going to try to deny it. Paul's life was work. Paul suffered some things. But I want to tell you something. Paul had his sights on something besides Paul. He had his sights set on the will of God and what God had called him to. You know the beauty of a call from the Lord? You know the joy of the God of heaven talking to you? Sometimes I hear people say, well, I wish the Lord would talk to me, you know, more. Well, I want to tell you something. Get in step with God and He'll talk to you enough. He will. If He calls you to preach, I want to tell you one of the side benefits of it. He has to talk to you all the time. He has to talk to you every week. The Lord has to just keep talking to you in special ways. He has to give you special inspirations. He has to give you wisdom that you don't have. He has to break barriers down that we can't break. God does that and you sit there and watch Him. He does those things. You want to see the Lord work? You wish you could see those things? Get in step with God and let Him have your life and have a cause that's greater than yourself. Young folks, what we do, the things that we do are not set in place to promote ourselves. If they are, we'll sadly, people give themselves for causes that in the end, it's a selfish cause. It's to promote themselves. The Lord has a cause that's not selfish. It's a cause that'll make you go and visit with somebody that is an outcast instead of visiting with your best friend. You know, the friend that you enjoy the most and you wish that you could just, you and them just spend so much time together. Isn't that a blessing when we have that? I love that. There's, to me, that's one of the cream, one of the things God has given to people is relationships, friendships. I love to pray with another brother. I love to enjoy those things. This morning, we'll have enough of those things if we'll get in step with God. The Lord will give us many joys that the world can't give. And I'll tell you what those things, the end result is, that everything God gives blesses our lives. Everything He gives makes us have a better understanding of life, of God, of our family, of people, even of ourselves. But I will tell you, when you set your cause for me, and when you set your cause for yourself, you're going to be a disappointed person. You're going to search through life and maybe amass all kinds of things. You may reach some of the goals that you have. But I want to tell you, I haven't seen any of those people that I would even come close to trading with in life. When I say I feel rich, I feel rich. I'm not talking about money, folks. You know, Jesus' disciples, they got to arguing one time. I'm going to read here Matthew 20 and 27. They wanted to know who would be the greatest among them. And at this time, I believe the mother, it said, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And you know, she wanted, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Now tell me who was that for? That's our own carnal mind, folks, when we go that way. That's our carnal mind. Jesus had something to tell these folks. Folks, the Lord wants us to hear the call of His Spirit. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Him. And it's about you letting loose and getting in step with Him and letting Him have His way. In the 27th verse, Jesus told them, in verse 25, He called them unto Him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over you." You know they're great. They have power over other people. "And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." This morning I would that God would touch our hearts to long to be a minister. And I'm not a minister necessarily that preaches. A minister, whatever kind God wants us to be. A minister to other people. A minister to the one that needs talked to, that takes our time. A minister to the one that needs pushed in a wheelchair. A minister to our family instead of going out on our own pursuits. Fathers, I challenge you. I know we have jobs to do. Do the will of God. Take time to minister to your family. The greatest influence that can possibly be on those boys is for a father to spend time with them. You know that's the will of God? That might be us taking our hands off of our plans and our life and all that we had and spending time with them. I challenge us today. We lose too many of our boys. Spend time with our boys. Teach them to work. Take them with you. Do this, whatever sacrifice it takes, let it be so. Amen. That we can profit in the kingdom of God. We need our boys. We don't just need them to be saved. We need them to have the call of God upon their life. They need to see it in us. They need to see our life given to God, to His will. They need to see you on your knees praying. They need to feel the unction of your heart. Our boys need that. And many of us many times have many causes outside of that. Take care of the causes that are first. That's our family. It's part of the will of God for our life. You know, He said, "Whosoever will be chief among you," verse 27, "let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." That was our example, folks. Jesus didn't come to be ministered to. He didn't come He didn't do that, did He? He became a servant. The highest call we have in life is to be a servant of the Lord and to let Him have His way in our life. I was thinking about the true measure of a man. I believe this is his selfless life and behavior and his walk with God. That's the measure of a man. Boys, that's the measure of a man, I believe. It's your selfless life, your behavior. All those things of lust and greed and the things the world goes after, I want to tell you, they're selfish and they don't produce a good result. Let God have your life. You know, it takes effort to help people up. We got to kind of bend down to help people up, don't we? That's what our life should be about, folks. Helping people up. Helping people find God. Helping them in the things. Helping them get to heaven. Helping them fight the good fight of faith. Encouraging them to be willing and able and to know that they can be able. You know, in Luke 17 and 10, I'm just going to quote this. He said, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." You know, these are things that we have to understand in order to be profitable in God's kingdom. when he says, when you've done all these things, say, we are unprofitable servants. Folks, that's our goal. We're just servants. We're unprofitable servants to ourselves. We're unprofitable. We're just unprofitable servants. We just do what God wants us to do. So this morning, God help us. I trust that the Lord will touch our hearts and call some of us to a life of service. That's not saying, Lord, I'm going to the mission field. It's saying, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. Take my hands off. I give my life to your service. We live in a generation, folks. These are things we need to understand in our heart, our mind. We live in a generation where it's all about me. And I'll tell you why a man can run off and leave his family and his children because he wants to be happy. Because it's all about me. That's not where it is. Those kind of things, if our life is about me, regrettably, we're liable to find ourselves doing some of those things later in life. Give your life to the Lord. Let it be about something that's greater than my enjoyment. And I mean greater than my enjoyment. It's not always fun to go and help somebody that stinks, that has lowered themselves into the garbage until it's disdainful to be around them. But I will tell you what, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We'll have joy enough in our life if we give ourselves. We'll have joy enough. We'll have peace enough. The Lord will bless us many times. Our riches, I believe, will increase in life. Our riches in peace. Our riches in many things in life that the Lord wants to give us. Take the responsibility to be a servant to God, to our family, to other people. Folks, I don't believe it's boring to be a servant to the Lord. It's everything but boring. I want to read one more scripture. We heard this same scripture last night. And I want to challenge us this morning. The scripture says, who then is willing? 1 Chronicles 29 and 5, the last part of it. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? And I want to ask you today, who here is willing to do that? Who is willing to allow God to have his complete way in your life and take your hands off and say, Lord, I want only one thing, and that is to do your complete will in my life. I want to tell you, there's been a few men go before us. Abraham was a man. The Bible speaks of him. It writes of him. We're challenged by his life. Did Abraham have enough interesting things in his life? Did Abraham, when he got up and left what he had, I'd say Abraham had enough interesting things. You know, Abraham met with the Lord. You know, when the Lord was going down, the angels were going down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, do you know that Abraham, he had some interaction there with the Lord? He had a part in that decision. He said, Lord, would you not destroy? You know, he worked with the Lord there. Abraham did that. Is that not significant, folks? You know, but it wasn't about Abraham. He was worried about Lot. He was worried about Sodom. It was about others. And in that, God blessed Abraham's life. You know, I thought about David. Here David was. He was a rich man. But you know what David's life centered around? He wrote the Psalms, many of them. David's life was given to God. You read those beautiful songs, Psalms that were songs. David wrote many of those. They came out of his heart. Something God gave him. You think David, you think David, he was hunted of Saul for some years because God was preparing him. But all the time, he was God's. He wanted to do God's will. You know, this morning, will we suffer? Will we spend maybe a few years, maybe a lifetime, I don't know, doing some suffering? I don't know, maybe so. The Lord blesses His servants tremendously. But I want to tell you something. The Lord blessed David too. But David suffered some, and he didn't know how long. Joseph suffered some. He didn't know how long that was going to be. He didn't know the end of the story. Listen, jump in there with all that we have. We see Job was a man, you know, we didn't know. Job didn't know the end of the story. He didn't know what was going to happen in his time. He just knew God took everything away. And you know what Job said? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. You know that because Job's life was not about Job. How many of us have been blessed by Job's life? Was Job's life worth living? Was it worth living? I'd say it was. Job lived a life that God blessed. We see things we see the significance of his life. But Job's life wasn't about Job. It was about serving God. And you see it all through the book of Job. Lord, help us each one this morning that we might pursue the will of God.